Okay, good morning, everybody. We're continuing on page Kuf Nun Aleph. We're wrapping up the main part of the Chovos HaTamid, and we'll be done with the main part of the book in the next couple of days. And the Rebbe ends off yesterday about how we have to be aware of our neshamas, and you have to be able to arouse yourself. And when you arouse yourself, you're able to get in touch with your neshama, which is the higher vantage point of your existence. And if you really paid attention, it would be a whole book of emotions you could write on each day of your life. And he says, but the main foundation, the beginning and ending of everything is one's emunah, one's belief in Hashem. And not just cerebrally, but your whole essence has to feel it. And now he continues with a very important point. Middle of Kuf Nun Aleph. For this rule of the rules of the soul, you should etch into your heart. You should etch into your heart the following fundamental principle of how the soul operates, which is about review. Hachazara, the concept of review, lo lazikaron bilvad moelas, is not only beneficial for memory. That's what we normally think. We normally think, why do you keep reviewing? You review something, the more you review it, the more you'll remember it. Right? And that's a big thing we're having a lot of trouble with, to remember the Torah that we learned. And the reason is because we don't review it enough. But that's only one aspect of the concept of review. And a lot of people can fool themselves and think, well, you know, I know it already. Why should I review? And the truth is, if you keep reviewing that which you know, that's the one way to ensure that you will continue to know it. And you won't forget it. But there's a much more profound concept behind review, and as it applies to the soul. And he says, what does review do besides memory? He says, Rak gam laharchiv es hayediya ulahavlidosa afneged enov velibo moelasi. But review is also beneficial to expand the knowledge and to make it stand out before your eyes and heart. In other words, it enables you to be more connected to the information, and it gives you a better handle on the information. It's not just memorizing facts. It's not just remembering to spit it out. But you're able to integrate it and internalize it more within your being, which is a much deeper concept. As he will explain it in the next paragraph, he'll explain what direction he's going here. But that's what he's saying right now. So review is more than just a memory tool. It's a way to expand the knowledge and to make it much more stand out in front of you and to integrate it better. V'hayidiyah v'machshava Shirak bitzam tsem ha'ish as daito choshevosa. But knowledge and thoughts that are only confined to the person's knowledge as he thinks of them. Varak b'machshava ma'ata, and only with a little bit of thought. Kasher yachzire, because in other words, when you get the idea the first time, it only goes in a little bit. Kasher yachzirena, but when you review it, and you increase thinking and speaking about it, it becomes so clear and certain to you. And so clear. And it sticks up before your eyes. His entire room, doesn't necessarily mean the room he's in, figurative, but it means like the inner compartments of all around you are filled with this thought, and he's totally immersed within this thought. So it's not like there's this piece of external, so the first time you learn something is a piece, it's external knowledge. External knowledge is trying to, hook onto you, so to speak. But the more you review it, and the review brings clarity to the concepts that are there, the clearer the concepts are, the certainty that the concepts are there, it penetrates until your whole being is filled with it and you're totally immersed in the concept. The concept is like, imagine that you've created the The concept could be a few drops of water. A few drops of water that are splashing on your eyelids. Or you have a whole pool that you're swimming in. Right? So if you learn it once, it's like drops falling on your eyelids. But if you keep reviewing it and reviewing it, it's like you developed a pool. And you're inside that pool. You're surrounded by that concept. It's a different reality. It's a different reality. So it gives you where, so it's not just you remember it, but there's the clarity and the depth of understanding it. It becomes a whole sense of your reality. You know, do you have to remember that you're married? No. Just remember it? I forgot I was married. I can't go to the game tonight. You know, it's been reviewed enough that you understand that you're married. Right? There's certain concepts that are part of your essence now. It's not a question of forgetting it. Yeah, I don't know. You know, and that, you know, depends on, you know, on how well you review things is how well it's going to be part of your being. If something's part of your being, you don't have to stress yourself out trying to remember it. Your address. You know, depending on how often you have to write it out. You know, and it becomes part of your essence, or you have to really struggle, remembering your address. There's a lot of things that you know, bits of information are usually very hard to retain, bits of information. But parts of your life is much easier. You can't forget a part of your life. You know how many hands you have? You have to start thinking, you want to start counting your fingers? That's part of your being. So you have to have such, as they call, five-finger clarity on the information that you have, that it's as clear as you know you have five fingers. It's as clear as you know every parsha of the Torah. Right? Does anybody know every parsha of the Torah in order? All 54? You know, how could you not know that? How could you not know that? That's what Jews all about. You know, to know all 54, it's like, go out over every year, you hear the Torah every year, you hear the reading every year. It should be boom, 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 boom. It's not even you have to think about it. It's like that template is etched in your brain. You know that the Shabbos after Simchas Torah is always Bereishis. Right? They have to remind you that it's Bereishis. Right? Bereishis. It's the beginning of the year. It's you lived with Bereishis. You thought, how am I gonna start my new year after Simchas Torah, okay? And then of course you know that Noah comes after that. And that's in the month of Tishrei, and Tishrei was when the flood came. So you know, there's ways that you know it's part of your Jewish consciousness. You know, does anybody have to remember not to eat treif? Oh, I forgot. I thought today I could eat treif. I mean, you've reviewed it enough. You know, you can't eat treif. So the same thing with your learning, the more you learn, it becomes integrated, it becomes a reality in your life. You know, how is it that guys know all the sports facts? Right? I mean, I don't know. You know, okay, so everybody know who won the Stanley Cup last year? Do you remember? Of course you can remember, even I can remember. There was no Stanley Cup last year. Right? There was no Stanley Cup last year. Right? There was no winner. Right? I don't remember, because whenever I would listen to this, every time it said, are they going to play or they're not going to play? You heard it for a whole year. Whenever you hear the news, it was like a major news item. It wasn't like just relegated to the sports section. It was big Canadian news. So you heard for a whole year. You know, oh, there's a strike. It goes in. And you ask me who won the Stanley Cup the year before. I may have heard it once on the news, you know. I don't remember. I know one thing: since '67, it hasn't been the Maple Leafs, and that's a standard thing you hear every year, all the time in Canadians. They haven't won since it. So certain things. It's your reality. You know, Toronto's a losing town when it comes to hockey. A bunch of losers. You know, so that's a reality. You don't have to memorize. But other things, yeah, you know. So how is it that these guys, they can rattle off here the last 20 Stanley Cup champions? You know, because they hazard over, they're following the team the whole season, they're following the statistics, they're immersed in it. Their life is hockey. That's the life is hockey. You live and breathe hockey. You talk about, what do you think they talk about whenever you have a free minute? What is a secular goy who likes sports talk about when you're at a party? You talk, oh, how are the Leafs doing? Who do you think is going to win the Stanley Cup? The schmooze about this. It becomes a big thing. So they talk about it all the time. Of course you're going to remember it. It's your reality. So those things that are reality, things that you're going to remember. So obviously we have to now make it, so I think the point is very clear. Now we have to make an application to our service to Hashem. This is the whole point. We're trying to figure out, how does this fit into our service to Hashem, this memory tool? Was there a question? That's what we're saying. The more you understand it, the more it becomes real.
You're giving facts. Like, do you remember that you don't have to eat kosher? This is nothing to remember.
It's more than facts. You live it. You live it. The idea is inculcated in your mind. It's, your reality is every time you pick up a product, you're looking to see a COR. It's automatic. It's part of... That's what I'm saying. That's a... What does it mean when I'm saying it becomes part of your reality? You know, facts and figures don't just become part of your reality. When you review it to the point where it has been, it is now part of your world. And obviously you understand the concept. That's what he says. Laharchi v'esayidia. Expands the knowledge. Right? Lahaflid also. And it makes it stand out. You have such clarity on what you're dealing with. The problem is, it's hard to remember things you're not so sure of.
You know, there's no point where you're feeling that you understand it. This point, this specific point.
There are points. There are certain things you feel you've integrated into your Weltanschauung. It's part of your...
So this means you don't have to repeat it once
you... Only after you get to a certain point. And the truth is, if you don't repeat it from time to time, you will still forget it. I guarantee you, if you stop eating kosher... Totally stop eating kosher. You'll forget it. You're keeping kosher is always, you're always reviewing it. Every time you go to a store, you're looking at a product. Where's the COR? So that's a chazara. That's a review. You're reviewing kashrus. It's not a man. You're living it is causing you to review it. Right. So any other concept is a similar concept. Right? Do you daven? Do you know what davening is? You do it three times a day. How could you forget what davening is? So now we come to the critical thing. Do you believe in Hashem? Do you believe in Hashem? Where does that fit into your memory? Where does it fit into your consciousness? So that's where he's going to say review is very important. So let's look at the next paragraph. L'chein, therefore, have a marve lachshov uladaber la'atzmacha ulechavercha me'emunoscha. Therefore, increase to think and speak to yourself and to your friends about belief in Hashem. Shashem yisparach melocha l'aretz kevodo. That Hashem, the Blessed One, fills the entire world. And if you do that, vazgam b'molchacha uvalipcha tirev etargish. And then in your brain and in your heart, you will see and you will feel. That your whole essence has been given over and resides in the rooms of Emuna and the courtyards of Emuna. It's like you're living in Emuna. It's like you're in a room of Emuna. You know, if you're in a library, do you have any doubt where you're at when you're in that room? Like, is it a Shiloh when you see thousands of books? Where are you? Well, I don't know. What do you mean? There's a million books in front of you. You're in a library, right? So that's got to be so clear that there's volumes of Amuna in every room that you're in, right? So you see Hashem, you feel Hashem all the time. So of course you have Amuna and Hashem. It's not a question. If you remember, you believe in Hashem. It's part of your reality. You believe in Hashem, and obviously Bitachon follows that. And to the degree that your emunah is stronger and stronger, and to the degree that it fills you more inside and out of your reality, to the degree that it is clearer component of your life, what's the benefit of having emunah? Just for the sake of emunah? Then it's easier to arouse yourself to do what you have to do, to get in touch with your neshama, right? All these things that the Rebbe's talking about are all depend on how much you can get in touch with your neshama. as much as you can arouse yourself to get in touch with your neshama. The only way arousing a neshama must occur in fertile territory. And the fertile territory is living in a constant realization that you're living in a reality that God is in this world.
What comes first? The understanding that there is God or learning?
It's both. If you don't learn, learning what? Learning what?
For example, Chovat HaTalmidim, this is what we're learning now.
Yeah.
You have to understand, once you learn, you understand that there is God. But you're saying when you understand that there is God, then your learning is become normal. It becomes like more TV, more...
Your learning become natural. I wasn't talking about your learning. I'm not talking so much about your learning. I'm just saying there's a way you live your life. There's a way you comport yourself. All the things the Rebbe says, not to be lazy, to have a focus, transform your midos. All the things he's talking about. What motivates you to do any of that? Right? I just want to add another notch in my belt. You know, I know math, I know science, I know Torah. It's not the same thing. It's a total life makeover that a person goes through from the beginning of his life as he continues. And that only happens, obviously you have to learning helps you to a certain degree, but not totally. You could learn and have no connection to God when you learn Torah. You could learn, you could turn pages, pick up information, but it doesn't connect you to Hashem. And that's what he said. You've got to first get your soul aroused before you learn Torah. When you learn Torah, then you can find Hashem in your Torah. But your soul has to be aroused. So how does your neshama get aroused? How do you get that sensation? That sensation comes if you are so clear that there is a God in this world. It is so crystal clear. It's not so you got to remember it. And many people, and the only way that's going to happen is if you keep reviewing. It's a simple concept review. You know that there's a God? Say it. Keep saying it. Keep talking about it. Keep integrating it. You got to keep talking about Hashem. What is your chit chat that you do at Kiddush? You talk about Hashem. You say, my, how Hashem was nice to me today. You're always talking about Hashem. It was amazing today. I didn't have my hat, and it was a Baruch Hashem in the middle of January, a warm day. Baruch Hashem. Whatever. You're always thinking about Hashem. Now, a secular person will think you're nuts. What are you talking about God for? But the truth is, they're the ones that are nuts. Because they're trying to live without God. Which is really much nuttier. Okay. But if you don't keep talking about it, and he said it before, you don't have to come with chidushim. You don't have to come with insights. Oh, I found a new insight in God in this world. It's just simplistic. You don't have to be a genius for this. You just keep talking about it and talking about it and talking about it. Try whatever you see to integrate it into an understanding that there's God in this world. Keep talking about Hashem. Obviously, when you're learning His Torah, and you're learning His Torah from the basis of that you realize Hashem exists, and now you're learning more information from Hashem, it's constantly, 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 till this is your complete reality that as far as you know, wherever you go, you sense Hashem is in the room. And once you're at that point, then a lot of wonderful things can happen. Okay, we're not talking about a person who's searching for Hashem.
No.
We're talking about somebody, you're ready, you understand there is Hashem. But you can read the Kuzari, understand it's Hashem, then close the book and go on to your math book, and the Kuzari becomes a distant memory. After you learn the Kuzari, and you say, yes, I understand there is Hashem, now keep talking about it. Keep reviewing it. And it's not just a question, okay, every morning for a half an hour I'm going to learn Kuzari. It's not enough review. What about the rest of the day? You gotta keep reviewing and reviewing and reviewing and reviewing and reviewing and reviewing. It's like non-stop throughout the day. Not every minute, but as the Rebbe said earlier in the book, once every hour. Once every hour you should remember what you're doing and why you're doing it. Once an hour. And the truth is, it really is easy to happen if we would just be focused on what we're doing, right? The Gemara says you have to make 100 brachas a day. You have to make 100 brachas a day. It's not likely that too much time can pass in a day without you making a bracha. All right? I mean, between davening's three times. Okay, so you got morning, afternoon, and night. That's three times. Okay, but you know, you're having breakfast, you're having lunch, you're having dinner. They're not necessarily close to the davening times, necessarily. You go to the washroom, right? There's different blessings you make. So throughout your day, you're saying Hashem's name. But you gotta really say it. You gotta, you know, you would think, Baruch Atah Hashem, blessed are you, Hashem. Wait, what did you do today? Borei Peri HaEtz, to create the fruits of the tree. Right? If you said it that way, you'd be reminding yourself as Hashem. We just whip out a blessing, you don't even think what you're saying, but you say it, you're not remembering Hashem. And it's much deeper than that. Especially when, you know, when you make the bracha, you're supposed to think in your mind, this apple, where did it come from? Where did it come from? It came from the miracle of photosynthesis. And all the other things that are, you know, that a scientist would know better. And that, the tree that you had your fruit comes all the way back from a fruit that happened from the Garden of Eden. Right? You come back all the way to creation. And it's part of Hashem's ratzon, so you should eat a fruit, and you should elevate the fruit and integrate it into God's world. If you thought about it that often, you know, it's impossible to have any moment to deviate from this Emunah Hashem. If you really had this Emunah Hashem, wouldn't you have to fight your Yetzer to get up in the morning? What are you fighting about? That's the only reality that exists. Oh, I forgot this Hashem today. You know, it's like, you know, like, can a person ever forget the Shabbos? It's possible. If you don't think about it for too long, you'll forget it, Shabbos, and by mistake turn on the light switch. So this is critical, is to constantly review. This is so simplistic. Because it's so simplistic, you know, people just don't do it. That which is the easiest thing to do. What's the easiest thing for a person to do is to review. It's the easiest thing to do is to review, because you already heard it. You already understand it. Now do it again. What for? I know it. So that is the Yetzer Hara. And what happens is, it doesn't take very long. You don't know it anymore. That which was so amazing. Oh, that was a great drush, right? Who reviews the drush? Nobody reviews the drush. You don't review it. How are you going to remember it? And it goes in, it goes out. And that's all that's there. So the same thing with Hashem. You don't review it, you're going to forget it. And then all those things that come out of it, those arousals don't happen.
I'm afraid to think that the brainwashing is. I want to believe that there is understanding. That's why you're learning and you...
So good, you are. You understand it. But even after you understand it, if you stop talking about it, you will forget it. We went through the Chovas Halavos. We proved there's a God. We proved it. You understand it. Okay, now put it on the shelf and don't look at it for 20 years. Oh, you're going to forget it.
Yeah.
You're going to forget it. You understand it? It's clear? Now again, you don't... And again, even if you're going to say it's brainwashing, did I brainwash you to remember your telephone number? Did I brainwash you for that? I didn't brainwash you. You kept reviewing it. It's a reality. Hashem is the reality. He is the reality. You know, you're a parent. You know that Hashem exists. Okay, now you got to go through proofs with your kid when he's 4 years old that Hashem exists. You just keep saying Baruch Hashem, Hashem is helping us. Hashem, because who's Hashem? Ooh, Hashem, He controls the whole world. He loves us. He's our Father. He's this. He's that. Every time you talk about Hashem, and your kid starts talking about Hashem, does your kid know all the intellectual proofs that a God exists? No, but he knows he exists because you told him it exists. Now the truth of the matter is, that's all your kid needs to know. That's all he needs to know. Once that becomes, you know, how does your kid know you're his father? How does Boaz know you're his dad? Did you prove it to him? You know, when it was first, oh, Boaz, I want to prove to you, here we're going to take a DNA sample, and I'm going to take a DNA sample from you, and I'm going to show you pictures of when we were intimate. you have to prove it. Until you prove it, it's not true. I mean, it's not right. You brainwashed, you know, you brainwashed your kid that you're his father. No, you may not be his father. How do we know? How do we know you're his biological father? Right? How do you know not the mailman? Right? How do you know? Chas v'shalom. It's just blind faith. You know, it doesn't matter. It doesn't matter. It let it be blind faith. But it's the emes. You know it's the emes, yeah? You know you're the kid's father.
We
try to understand, because the Chovas HaLevavos says when you get older, there's a mitzvah to understand it, because then it gets it even deeper. But even without the deeper, what's true is true, doesn't have to be proved. The sun rises in the east. Prove it to me. What do you mean prove it to me? What if a guy doesn't, what if I don't really know? Can I prove to you what north and south and west is? Can I prove it to you? I don't know. People tell me north, Bathurst goes this way. How could I really prove to you what direction is north? You say, well, that's where the north star is. Well, how do I know that? You picked a star, maybe it's the east star. So Weissachai says, scientists who spent a lot of time, they worked on it, they understand that the whole world says it's true. Right? The sun always rises in the east. Right? So okay, sun rises in the east. So now, did I prove it? Can anybody here prove that the sun rises in the east? The sun's coming up that direction. Well, that's east. How do I know that's east? Right? Well, you know, if we keep driving one, it's a hard thing. But guess what? If you know it's true, you live that way, your life is a good life. You know, you know how to find directions in life. Even if you were brainwashed. You know how to find directions. Because it's Emes. Right? So what you're learning in Torah is Emes. We know it's Emes. Okay. So, and even if you don't understand why it's Emes, but it's still the Emes. And live your life by the Emes. And then, you know, without the intellectual proofs, you could still get in touch with your neshama. As long as you know that it's true. Okay. It's always better to have proofs. But even without the proofs, you can understand the Emes. And it's reviewed. It's clear. Okay, let's continue. So this is a very simple idea, but we just don't do it. Havimargil atzmacha lechavin l'sar b'tfilah. You have to accustom yourself to concentrate and arouse yourself during prayer. During the page. Mitchila in the... And how do you do that? Kufnum beis now. How do you arouse yourself to get into prayer? Mitchila b'azvor hamadabri mitzor hu yosecha. In the beginning, you start discussing things that are of your needs. Obviously, you'll be a little bit more motivated to concentrate on things that you need when you talk about that. Kigon, for example, Batochon Ein L'Adam Das. The initial brachas, you say, God, you bestow upon man understanding. All right? You want to be smart. Everybody wants to be smart. It's important for you to be smart. You're trying to figure out something. You're trying to do well in school. Whatever. That's something you need. So you're going to pray for that. Hashiveinu v'ilasarasach Hashem, return us to your Torah, help us do tshuva. Parech aleinu, give us, bless our year, give us parnasa. Anybody here need parnasa? Is it important to anybody in this room? You know, so when you talk to Hashem about parnasa, it's important, no? So you have a lot of kavana when you talk about the parnasa. Shiba kashta parnasa kadayma, this is a request for parnasa, similarly. And then, then in other aspects of prayer, you'll be accustomed to focus. In other words, focus first on the things that it's easy to concentrate on. Somebody's sick, it's easy to concentrate on Rafa'inu Hashem, v'nei Rafa'i. Hashem, heal us. You have in mind a particular person. It's hard to concentrate on that? You don't think you're talking to Hashem when you're doing that? When you're having troubles with Parnassa, you're praying for Parnassa? So pick something that you, when you talk, the problem is, we go on automatic pilot, we just read pages. Turn pages. So the question then becomes, how quickly can you turn the pages? How effectively can you turn the pages? Right? But are you talking to God? Who's talking to God? I'm turning pages. Right? The truth is, that's the whole beauty. You know, everybody says, like, it's such a downer. It's a set, established prayer. And because established prayer, it's hard for me to concentrate. The answer should really be the opposite. Since you know what the words are, you know what they mean, you don't have to spend so much time figuring out what they mean, you know what they mean. You can only spend the time concentrating. Again, people repeat things they want to repeat. People repeat every day the hockey scores. Every day. It's like, you know, guess the point, who's different? 4-3, 6-2, 7-1. It all repeats itself. The Maple Leafs win 6 in a row, they lose 6 in a row. So, you know, they did it 2 years ago, they won 6 in a row. It's everything repeats. En kol chadash tachas Air Canada Center. You know, there's nothing new. It's to say, he scored a goal, he saved the goal, he blocked it, he didn't block it. It's like, you know, it's the same stuff. Well, but people do it because it's interesting. Right? I'm saying the fact that you know the davening, so now you don't have to concentrate so much, what does this word mean? I know what it means. I know we're talking about God help me with my thinking. Okay, now I can concentrate on asking him to help me with my thinking. And that's something I need constant help with. And then when you get past the things that are easier to have kavana, then you get to the things that are a little bit more challenging to have kavana. But it's critical. Without, you know, davening is the best time to make God real. It's the best review. You're doing it so many times already. So if you think about what you're doing, it's an amazing review. You're spending an hour and a half a day talking to God. Isn't that a good review? But you have to have kavanah. Without kavanah, then it's an hour and a half of wasting your time, God forbid. Okay? So that should get you aroused. If you're constantly in a mindset that there's God in this world, you can constantly be aroused. So now it gives you a litmus test to know if these arousals are correct and you're talking, getting these revelations and you're on the right path. How do you know that you're getting somewhere? So im ritzoncha livchein im hisarerusha im amitius hi. If you want to be able to test if your arousals are the kinds that are true, which are hiskalus hanefesh, a revelation of the soul, viskorvusa ma'at el tor elyon, and a little bit of coming closer to the supernal holiness. Is your arousal a real spiritual activity? Olrak, or perhaps it's only hisrakshus remuyahi. It's a false feeling. A faking feeling. You know, you had this feeling and you thought it was a spiritual thing, but it really wasn't a spiritual thing. Was it ever something else? You were afraid of something, but it wasn't really a spiritual thing. When was it really the revelation of soul or not the revelation of soul? So how can you tell? Having mistakel b'midos secha, the litmus test is always look at your midos, look at your character development. Im al kol ponim ma'at nistaknu, if at least a little bit's been repaired. Okay, whatever. Let's say you're a guy who has a big temper, as a kid, a big temper, and you see as you're getting older, you know you don't have such a big temper anymore. You still have it, but it's a lot better. At least you've made some repairs. Then you should know, Shemin Ros Levushehem Ma'at Hasirosa. You should know that you have removed Hasirosa. You've removed a little bit from the evil of their garments, the garments of bad midos. You've removed a little bit. Vesmikoran Uktushosan Ma'at Gilisa. And the root and the holiness. Remember, every evil trait comes from a holy place. So you've revealed a little bit of that holiness. Ubahen, and in then, but which are b'midos haros and of those evil traits mikoron from before have been changed la'avol yiranisararta. You've aroused yourself to love and fear. In other words, you've taken midos that have manifested them in the wrong way. Remember, we said every midah, every characteristic is rooted in a holy source. It all comes from Hashem.
It's chapter ten.
So what happens is, if you don't play it out in the way it's supposed to play out, it finds a negative place to play itself out. So how can you, so if they're playing themselves in a negative place, it's because you're not focusing on connecting them to the holy source. Again, every midah, it's obvious that this is the test. Every midah comes from a holy source. Where's the source of the holy source? Hashem. Hashem's the source of the holy source. You have love. Okay, love. So love, where's real love? The real love, where I'm giving to someone else, I don't care about myself, I'm not looking for anything in return. That is a midah that comes directly from Hashem. Right? And the only way you're going to get to that midah is if you connect to the source. That source, and that comes from Hashem. Now, if you have a bad midah, let's say you're lustful. Mm. So lustful means you have a very powerful love, but you're using it in the wrong way. Okay? Now, how are you going to tell if you ever have these real spiritual connections? You're going to tell, because if you have enough real spiritual connections, you're connecting to Hashem. You're going to connect to the source of love, which is love for no selfish reasons. And you're going to have to, it's going to have to rub off on you. It's got to rub off on you. And if you see your midas are as lousy as they were 10 years ago and nothing's changed, it means it's not possible that you've connected to the source of those midos. So you can't fool anybody. That's what he's saying. And especially, you can't fool yourself. A person thinks he's a spiritual person. The big litmus of you're a spiritual person, have your midos changed? Have they improved? Or you just say, you're the same guy who yells at your wife every day, and you've done that for the last 20 years, even though you're learning Masil Shasharim every day, and you're learning Chovas Avavas every day, and you're davening every day, but guess what? It's only superficial. You're not connecting to Hashem. And the biggest proof is, you're not connecting to any of his midos, to the source of the midos. Unbelievable way of being able to find out what's going on with a person. It's not, because if your soul was really aroused, It was connecting to Hashem. You feel this connection to Hashem. You feel that connection to Hashem. You're connecting to the entire essence of Hashem, which includes all the midas that Hashem has. You know, it's no different, for example, the Gemara says, you should stay away from a bad neighbor and stick close to good neighbors. It's the same idea. You hang around a good person, a real, genuinely good person, and you observe them and you notice them. It's going to rub off on you. It has to rub off on you. And the opposite with a bad person. So if you're really connecting to Hashem, it's like he's your good neighbor. And then all of a sudden, you know, you start realizing all the good things that Hashem does. It's not just, yeah, I know this God finished, but you're talking about it and you're noticing. You say, you know, Hashem, you're so kind to me today. Hashem, you're so kind to me. You only can do that if you're really thinking about Hashem. If you're getting real arousals and you're getting excited about it, say, whew, I have this feeling that I just love Hashem. I can't explain exactly. It's an unbelievable feeling after I've recognized so much good he's done for me. So then obviously you have to become better yourself. It's not possible. If it's a genuine feeling, how could you not become that way over time? But if you just, you're just spacing out in the fields and you're saying, I'm spiritual, I'm getting in touch with my essence. And, you know, and I'm just saying some mantras and Hashem isn't in the zone. You're just connecting to the corrupt person that you are. So nothing's going to change. So you have this pseudo spiritual people and the real spiritual people. The difference is you check it out in their midos. You check it out in their midos. And that's the dead giveaway. And he says, Vim lo garata ma'uma min ra'asam umin nemichyusan lo chasarta. And if you haven't taken away at all from their evil, and if you're not lacking any more in the lowliness that was part of you, in other words, you haven't made any changes in your midos, as b'chol hisaruscha, with all those arousals, mu'uma lo pa'alti, you haven't achieved anything. V'afshar od inyan ra l'ramoscha b'henid. It could be also a very bad thing that they're fooling you. You think you're spiritual, you're not spiritual. So therefore, this is the litmus test. If you want to know, a person can say, Rebbe, I don't think I'm spiritually growing. So a smart Rebbe will say, I know you have, because I see you don't yell at people anymore. I see that you're not talking a certain way. I see your language is different. Also, you know, you could tell, I see you're more compassionate than you used to be. You're more loving than you used to be. Right? And he could say, because the Yetzer Hara will always try to convince you that you're not growing in your spirituality. But the way you can tell, it's a good self-test. Just see, are your midos any better? If they're better, then it's guaranteed that you've made changes. So therefore he says, Tamayer achar hisarusla, you should run after those arousals. You should look forward to those situations that produce arousals. V'achar tefilos la'agunan, after a proper prayer. Bod rucha chacham, when your spirit is still warm. Uba'od maras ha'kedush lifne'enecha parchos, and while still visions of holiness are sprouting before your eyes. You feel you're in the zone. So that's what he said. When you feel you're in that zone, when you mamish see and sense that you're connecting to Hashem, when you feel that and you're connecting to your neshama and you're rising up, so it's critical to do what? Lahabit al nemichius midosecha uhizdon zeya. To look at your lowliness in terms of your characteristics and to tremble from it. Lahashkiv min harakodesh alisa, to take a good view from this high holy mountain that you have ascended to. And from that point, take a look down, el bor hanechashim, to the pit of snakes. Ulhis marmer, to become embittered from that. In other words, when you get a good davening and you get a good feeling, during kedusha, you feel an arousal. Oh, you mamish feel, you feel like you're connecting to Hashem. At that point,
like you said in chapter 9.
That's right. At that point, take a look at your bad midos, and you'll be appalled. Oy, how could I be like that? That's terrible. Right? Ramos al sunvis take, trample on those bad qualities and repair them. As ras levushan batel, the evil of their cloaking nullify. As etzem kiddushasam galay, and the essential holiness revealed. Because that's what it all is. You know, the bad midos is just cloaking the good spark that they're coming from. Get rid of the garment and the pure beauty of that midah is there for you to see. Mm. So that's the critical way. That's the only way. And if you don't really have that spiritual feeling, that real spiritual feeling, you're never going to be able to get up to that point to look back down at your negative behavior. Yes. Only when you have that spiritual encounter and you are raised in that raised state, you can look back down at the negative state and then you can begin to make repairs. Again, you're not going to make a repair the first time, but you keep having these feelings. Like you're saying, you know, I gotta stop getting angry. This is the 28th time I've noticed that I'm an angry person and I haven't made enough improvements. Eventually something's gonna give. Something's gonna give. And this creates, as we say, a ratzon. A desire. And that's what leads us into the next point. What do you do with a ratzon? And let's do the next line and then we're gonna get into a very important concept tomorrow. So he says, Kishem, Shiavsha, La'oved, Below Ratzon Chazak. And just like it's not possible to work without a strong desire, kach yafshir lo b'lo hachlota chazaka, so is it not possible to work with a strong hachlota. So the word hachlota, hachlata, usually means decision, right? So he's not going to be using it, he's not going to be using this term the way we simply understand decision, which we're going to see. But what do you see he's already said? He's already implied from what we've read that you can't serve God without a strong ratzon, without a strong desire. Now, where does that strong desire come from? You want to change your anger. You want to change your stinginess. How do you change? You got to have a big ratzon to change it. Where's that big ratzon going to change it? When you connect to Hashem, the ratzon comes. The way everything we described today creates that ratzon. Okay, great. So during Kiddusha, boy, do I have this ratzon to change, right? What happens after davening? Boom. The ratzon's gone. So how do I make the change? So now he's bringing a new concept that he's calling hachlota, which loosely translated means decision making. We'll have to expand that explanation to mean acting on one's decisions. And we'll elaborate on this greatly tomorrow. But today, give us a good view of what brings out our decisions, our desire. And tomorrow, Mr., we're going to see the concept of acting on one's decisions in a consistent fashion.